Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
The Czech government has approved the draft state budget for 2022, envisaging a deficit of 280 billion crowns. Michal Koudelka has been reappointed head of the Counterintelligence Security Information Service. And Czech basketball player Tomáš Satoranský has joined his fourth club since the start of his NBA career. The Czech government on Wednesday unanimously approved the draft state budget for 2022, Finance Minister Zbigněk Stanjura announced on Twitter. The draft budget envisages a deficit of 280 billion crowns, with revenues projected at 1,613 billion and expenditures at 1,893 billion crowns. The budget must now be approved by the Chamber of Deputies, which is expected to discuss it in its first reading on the 18th of February. The government plans to approve the budget in the lower house by the end of March so that the state can operate on the new budget as of April. The government has reappointed Michal Koudelka, head of the Counterintelligence Security Information Service, the Czech news agency reported on Wednesday, adding that he should assume the post on the 15th of February. Koudelka's term as director of the Counterintelligence Service expired last year, and under pressure from his long-term critic, President Miloš Zeman, the former government, headed by Andrej Babiš, named him acting head of the BIS, leaving it to the next government to fill the post on a permanent basis. In past years, President Miloš Zeman repeatedly criticized the performance of the intelligence service, berating it for warning about the activities of Chinese and Russian agents in the country. The daily number of new COVID-19 cases continues to decline in the Czech Republic. On Tuesday, laboratories registered 37,627 new cases, which is almost 20,000 fewer than on the same day last week. Another 6,674 people were reinfected, which represents a drop of a third on the previous week. The incidence number has dropped below 2,000. Over the past 7 days, there were 1,962 infections per 100,000 inhabitants. There are currently 3,553 people hospitalized with COVID, with 214 of them in serious condition. The Czech Minister of Health, Vlastimil Válek, has indirectly confirmed that the government will scrap an increase in payments for those with state insurance. He said on Twitter that the move would not threaten healthcare quality or accessibility. In January, the state began paying more into public health insurance for around 6 million people, including seniors, the unemployed and children. Abolishing that rise will save the state around 10.8 million crowns this year. Prime Minister Petr Fiala's government has pledged to make savings in many areas in a bid to balance the state coffers. Czech basketball player Tomáš Satoranský has joined his fourth club since the start of his NBA career in 2016. The 30-year-old has been traded from New Orleans to Portland after mainly appearing on the bench for the former since signing last summer. Satoranský will not necessarily remain in Portland, with the NBA's transfer window set to close on Thursday. Czech snowboard cross-rider Vendula Hopiáková has finished at the Beijing Olympics after sustaining an injury during a race on Wednesday. The 25-year-old athlete reportedly broke her arm after falling on the track in the eighth round of the competition. Hopiáková was the only Czech snowboard cross representative at the Winter Olympics after the withdrawal of champion Eva Samková, who broke both her ankles just 2 months before the Olympics. Another Czech snowboard cross-rider, Radek Houser, tested positive for COVID and is currently in isolation. And finally, a quick look at the weather. Thursday will be mostly sunny with occasional clouds and day temperatures ranging between 8 and 12 degrees Celsius. I'm Ruth Franková and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. Here's what's coming up in today's programme. Jiří Menzel's famous film Larks on a String returns to the Berlinale, where it won the Golden Bear in 1990. A Moser master glass blower is having trouble finding new apprentices to learn his unique artwork. And later we will explore the Moravian city of Zlín and the legacy of its famous industrialist Tomáš Baťa. All that is coming up, so please stay with us. Jiří Menzel's classic film Larks on a String, about victims of communism forced to work in a huge scrapyard, was completed in 1969. However, it was then put on a blacklist by the regime, where it remained until 1990, when it won the Golden Bear at the Berlinale. This week, the movie is going back to Berlin in a newly restored version. Ian Willoughby discussed it with Michal Bregant, the head of the Czech National Film Archive.
The film basically represents the transition of Czechoslovak film industry from 1968, from the Prague Spring, to the period of normalization, because the film was decided to be shot in 1968, and then it took some time. The film itself was finished in the fall of 1969, which means that was after the new, you know, neo-Stalinist government, which was established in April of 69. So basically, Larks on a String suffered from all the turbulences and the changes in the political situation in Czechoslovakia at that time. And the main reason for putting the film on the blacklist, apparently, was that it shows the individual stories of the victims of the 1950s regime in Czechoslovakia. Those were political prisoners who were sometimes completely innocent, basically completely innocent people who were taken to the court basically for their need for freedom, because those people were jailed. However, they didn't commit any crime. They just wanted to have their free lives. And that was bad enough to take them to the political courts.
It was one of several films by Jiří Menzel that was based on Rabaul stories. Could we possibly compare it to the other films? How does it compare?
That's very individual, but at least in my eyes, I think that Larks on a String are very, very close to the ethos of Hrabal's writing. I think that the not only the stories of the individual characters, but the film as such, with its ironic distanciation, special sense for very dark humor, is very close to Hrabal. And I think that Menzel, in this case, he really managed to transform Rabaul's style into a cinematic style.
The freshly restored version of Larks on a String is being screened now at the Berlinale. Of course, there's a close connection between this film and this festival. For people who don't know it, could you tell us what that link is?
Well, the link is very typical for what we were experiencing in 1989 and 1990. There was the whole legend about how the film was damaged and destroyed by the authorities during the 70s and the 80s. That was not true, fortunately. So it was relatively easy to repair the film and basically do the last post-production, and also to return a deleted scene or cut-out scene from the film and apply for the competition in Berlin in early 1990. So at the beginning of February 1990, the film was premiered in Berlin. However, it was already 21 years old. So there was also some sort of political gesture that Berlinale invited such film and also awarded such film in the main competition.
There must have been a lot of films that were in the vaults, as they say, in early 1990. Do you know why this one was selected for this opportunity?
Well, that was one of the films which were not fully released in 1969. So the film was fresh in that sense. And apparently it was relatively easy to finalize the film and prepare it in a timely manner for Berlinale.
And you were listening there to Michal Bregant, the head of the Czech National Film Archive, who is speaking to our very own Ian Willoughby. Moving on, artists have handed down the secrets of their work to younger generations for centuries. Sadly, this is not always the case, and the unique artwork leaves the scene with its maker. Glassmaster Zdeněk Drobný, who single-handedly created unique pear-shaped vases in the Moser Glassworks for 10 years, is about to retire, and he has no one to hand down his skills to, as Daniela Lazarová reports.
It measures 30 centimetres, weighs 8 kilos and consists of several layers of multicoloured glass. The famous Hrushka vase from the Moser Glassworks in Karlovy Vary was born 10 years ago. Since then, it has travelled to countries the world over. Its production will sadly end this year. Only glassmaster Zdeněk Drobný can process tens of kilos of hot glass and blow out the handmade product. When he retires in June, he will sadly take the artistic skills with him. The master glassblower has been working at the Moser Glassworks in Karlovy Vary for 51 years now. He is part of the company's history and easily recalls how the Hrushka vase, one of the company's best-selling items, was born.
We worked closely with the former art director Lukáš Jaburek on various products. He came to me with a pear-shaped vase sketched on a piece of paper. It was specific. Nothing like it had ever been done at Moser without a mould, because it meant handling a lot of glass on your blowpipe. We started at 8 kilos. I tried to take on more and more until I had about 15 kilos of glass. But when I took it out of the oven, the blowpipe bent. In the end, I could handle 30 kilos.
In order to be able to produce the vase, the company had to buy a new set of tools, blowpipes that could take the weight. Zdeněk Drobný, whose second name paradoxically means small, was the only glassblower able to meet the challenge. He says that even so, he could only produce 8 vases a day. To do more would damage his joints. Before grinding, the crystal glass vase weighs 15 kilos, roughly half of which is then removed by grinders. The finished product weighs 8 kilos. Zdeněk Drobný says that now he is planning to retire, there is no one willing to take on the heavy workload.
It's such a specific product that now there is no glassmaker who can handle such physically demanding work. I've been playing sports my whole life. When I started making this vase, I was in top form. I cycled, played football, went to the gym, did yoga. It's unique, a wonderful piece, but all things come to an end one day.
The Hrushka crystal glass vase has been produced by Zdeněk Drobný in the Moser Glassworks for almost 10 years. It comes in a variety of colours, and collectors are now scrambling to pick up the last pieces on the market.
Just a reminder now that you're listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio, where it's time for our main feature of the day. With the coronavirus pandemic slowly receding, 2022 could be the year when foreign tourists start coming back to the Czech Republic. If you're one of them and are making a list of places to visit, well, Zlín could be an interesting spot. Until the 1920s, Zlín was a small settlement in the eastern part of what is now the Czech Republic. But then two brothers, Tomáš and Antonín Baťa, founded a shoemaking company, based it there, and changed history. Vít Pohanka, our Moravian correspondent, has this report.
Zlín doesn't look like any other Czech or Moravian town or city. Its 77-meter brick high-rise right in the city center looks rather like something that belongs to America. Before the Second World War, it was one of the tallest buildings in Europe. It was also one of the symbols of the economic and cultural power of the Baťa Shoemaking Company. So I start my visit in the Museum of Southeastern Moravia. Its director is Pavel Hrubec.
Ten Zlín teď bude, nebo příští rok bude stravit 700 let, nicméně ta historie Zlína je něco málo přes 100 let.
Zlín will be celebrating 700 years of its existence, but in fact its history is no more than 100 years old. Right until the 1920s, it was a small and insignificant village, and the real development started with the arrival of Tomáš Baťa, who started building his business here. He provided, at first, work for hundreds, but soon for thousands of people who started coming from all over the place.
natáhli spoustu a skultivovali spoustu lidí, protože ty dřív žili opravdu velmi chudě.
He also cultivated these people because they were very often from modest backgrounds. Many of them were from poor farming families who were struggling to survive. And if one of the offspring got a job with Batya, he or she was usually able to help or even secure the family financially.
Byl schopný pomoct a zabezpečit.
So, under the Carpathian foothills, Zlín grew from a small village into a prosperous city. The new buildings were designed in the then prevailing functionalist or modernist architectural style. Zlín doesn't look like most other European cities.
Je to taková malá Amerika v tom, jak architektonicky, tak prostě, že opravdu došli do té Ameriky lidé z celého světa.
In a way, it is a small America, both architecturally and socially. The modern United States was built by immigrants from many countries. Zlín was also built by immigrants, but mainly from other regions of the country. Batya attracted young brains, not only from Czechoslovakia, but also from the rest of Europe. He followed the lead of companies in countries where the production process and the society were well organized.
Vybíral si i dobré vzory. Učil se tam, kde to fungovalo.
Nás před lety plul klidně život a běh.
Moje jméno je Silvie Lečíková, pracuji v Muzeu jihovýchodní Moravy ve Zlíně.
My name is Silvia Lečíková. I work for the Museum of Southeastern Moravia in Zlín, and I would like to invite you to our exposition The Batya Principle, Fantasy Today, Reality Tomorrow. It is situated in one of the production halls in what used to be the main factory complex right in the heart of Zlín. Shoes were made here first for the Batya company and later for the nationalized state-owned company Svit Gottwaldov. After production became unprofitable and the company closed, some of the buildings were restored and the new exposition you see here was installed in 2013. It presents for the first time the crucial role of the Batya family in the development of the city.
Velkým lákadlem pro návštěvníky a místem, kam je velice rádi bereme, je náš kinosálek, kde máme kolekci baťovských reklam z první republiky. Reklamy, hrané, animované.
The great magnet for our visitors is this video theater where we show Batya commercials from the 1930s. Some of them are performed by the Czechoslovak movie celebrities of that time, others are cartoons. These short advertising films were very popular at the time, some of them educational, others entertaining and downright funny. The soundtrack was provided by the best composers and musicians of the time. You can easily spend an hour here just watching them.
A dá se tady strávit klidně i hodinu.
And so I did, before visiting former colleague of mine. Marie Budhamsová was born in Zlín. She used to work for the local station of the Czech National Public Radio, and then she spent many years as a correspondent in Austrian Vienna.
Ahoj.
Ahoj.
Tu tě rád vidím.
Pojď dál, já tě netáče.
Now retired, she returned to the city of her youth. From 1949 till 1989, it was officially called Gottwaldov, after the first communist president of Czechoslovakia, Klement Gottwald. But the locals ignored it and used the original name.
Nikdy v životě moji rodiče nevyslovili slovo Gottwaldov.
Never in their life would my parents say Gottwaldov.
Rodiče rodičů byli na venkově, ale v podstatě asi 15 kilometrů od Zlína.
My grandparents lived in the country, but not very far, some 15 kilometers from Zlín. So we would often visit each other. They would invite us for lunch. We would take them for a cup of coffee in the city. My dad used to work for Batya, which was pretty much the norm here. My mom, and this may surprise you, worked as head of department at a factory that produced explosives.
Já to nedovedu pochopit, abych utekla z toho.
Marie could have stayed in Vienna, where she raised a family. But she prefers living in Zlín, in a nice, comfortable apartment close to the center and former shoe factories.
Baťova zástavba, ano, to je původní. Je bylo to sice párkrát předěláváno trošku a já jsem na to velice.
Yes, this is one of the apartment blocks built by Baťa. It has been reconstructed several times, but I was very careful to keep the original layout. You know what it's like. The subcontractors and builders often suggest changes, moving a wall here or there and opening a new door. I would have none of it. I was always behind their backs to make sure that they keep the apartment the way it was designed, and that is how it is to this day.
I ask Marie, what was Lín like when you were growing up in the 1950s and 1960s?
Skoro bych ti řekla jako dnes. Skoro jako dnes, protože tam.
I would say it was nearly the same city it is today. Not much has changed. I often say that Zlín is quite a big city that somebody somehow caused to shrink into a smaller one, because everything is within walking distance. I like it and I'm used to it. I would never want to leave Zlín.
Já bych ze Zlína nechtěla jít nikdy.
Now, you may wonder how Marie came to her very English surname Woodhams, or Woodhamsová, as we Czechs say. Well, she married an English businessman who was based in Vienna, and this is how they met in the 1970s.
Já jsem s ním dělala rozhovor tady. On, tu, on byl ve Zlíně na nějaké konferenci.
I interviewed him. He came to Zlín for a business conference and the radio sent me to speak to him. One thing led to another and we started dating and then married. I refused to go to England because I wanted to stay closer to Zlín and my parents. And I also wanted my children to be closer to their home. The funny thing was, it took me longer to get used to Vienna than my kids. They felt right at home there immediately.
Mladá, já jsem, tak vždycky jsem se tam otáčela, jestli teda to je dobré, jestli vypadám dobře.
Maria then takes me for a walk. One part of the city that Zlín is famous for consists of endless rows of modernist brick, unplastered duplex houses for workers with families. More senior employees had single houses. It was in line with Baťa's basic philosophy. Work communally, live individually.
Tyto domky právě měli šéfové od firmy Baťa a větší.
These were the homes of the managers. They are large and airy. He was very consistent in this respect. He wanted everybody to see where the management lived and where the workers lived. But that does not mean that he was arrogant and did not care for people. My parents always said that he treated everyone fairly. When my mom saw some litter that nobody cared to collect, she always remembered Mr. Baťa. She said he would pick it up himself and throw it in a litter bin. Even though she did not work in his factory herself, she said this was common knowledge about him. When she heard under communism that Baťa exploited people, she would defend him. She kept saying that Baťa did not exploit anybody.
Tak říkala, pan Baťa ten nikoho nevykořisťoval.
Another special thing about Zlín is its public transport. The city has over 114 kilometers, or about 60 miles, of trolleybus lines, more than any other city in Czechia.
Já mám trolejbusy podnes ráda, opravdu, protože jsou tiché. Brňáci říkají šaliny, že?
Šalina, to
říkají. I've always liked trolleybuses because they are silent. Trams are very noisy. Trolleybuses are not. They can take you from Zlín to the railroad station in Otrokovice, which is on the main line connecting Vienna with Ostrava, and then goes further to Poland and Warsaw. I used to take my grandson by trolleybus to that hill over there, where you can see modern blocks of flats. There is a great view of Zlín from there, and then we would walk back home. He used to enjoy it very much.
A to se mu strašně líbilo.
But But I'm still curious. Maria spent so many years in Vienna, one of the truly world-class cities with global connections, extremely rich architecture, history and culture. Isn't Zlín, with its 75,000 inhabitants, a bit of a boring provincial backwater?
Já mám Zlín ráda. Já mám Zlín ráda. Pro mě je to takové město pohodlné k bydlení.
I like Zlín very much. It is a city built for comfortable living, and people are close to each other too. Of course, the neighbors do not always see eye to eye, but generally speaking, there are no real social problems here.
Tak já si myslím, že doma je rozhodně ve Zlíně, to určitě. Ale kdybych byl...
I think my home is definitely here in Zlín, that is for sure. Nevertheless, if I were in the company of other people, some of whom would speak Czech and others German, I think I would switch sides every minute, depending on who would be speaking to me.
Marie Woodhamsová, a woman who nevertheless prefers living in small Moravian Zlín to Vienna, the capital of Austria. Vít Pohanka, Radio Prague International.
And thanks there to Vít Pohanka with that report, which was first broadcast on the 9th of December 2021. Sadly, that brings us to the end of today's programme. So from me, Tom McEncrow, and the team here at Radio Prague International, we wish you a very nice rest of the day.